Mr. Hall, if you'll have a seat there and raise your right hand for me, please. Do you swear that the evidence you will give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. Is your mic on, Mr. Hall? Is there a little yellow light still on there?
No,
not. Okay, now we're okay.
Now it is.
If you'd state your name, please, for the record.
Wilson Hall.
Okay. And I think Ms. O'Quinn is going to ask you a few questions. Okay.
Mr. Hall, what city do you presently live in?
Now? Hilliard, Florida.
How old are you?
Right now I'm 78.
What was your date of birth?
April 10th,
1915. How old were you in January of 1923?
About eight.
8 years old at that time.
Right.
Who are your parents?
Mary and Charles Backus Hall.
Your mother's name was Mary Hall.
Mary Hall.
Where were you born?
Rosewood.
And did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I did.
Could you name those for us?
Well, my older brother was Steve. My older sister was Doshi. My next older brother was Sammy. My next older sister was Margie. Next was Thomas, Charles, Wilson, Mary, and Martha.
And where were you, how old were you compared to your brothers and sisters? Where were you in that?
Seventh.
You were seventh out of the nine?
Right.
Were your brothers and sisters born in Rosewood also?
Yes, they were.
And are you the large Hall family that Mr. Evans was speaking about earlier?
That's right.
What did your family do in Rosewood? What kind of occupation did they have?
Well, my father, he was the principal at the school. Plus, he was the pastor at church. And we was what they call we was farmers. We was all farmers.
Let me ask you about being a principal at school. What school was that?
Well, there was no school that time. It only was one room. Just a school building with one room. And he taught from first all up to high school.
Did you get to go to that school or were you too young?
I was too young.
Did your older brothers and sisters go to school there?
Yes. Steve went, and Doshi, and Margie, and Sammy, they went. I don't think the others went too much.
Where was your father pastor?
What church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was the AME church.
The AME church?
Right there in Rosewood.
Right in Rosewood.
Right.
Okay, you mentioned he also did some farming. What kind of farming? Tell us about that.
Well, we were sharecroppers. We had the equipment and the help. But people would come from far and near, far around, and bring all of their crop there. Then we'll do it, whatever it is to be done to it. And then we done it in shears. Most of our biggest business was mostly cane, sugar cane. But we had a cane mill, which we ground all of the cane, mostly in Levy County. We would travel sometimes days just to bring the sugar cane to our place. And we had bins with different names for different cane, different size.
Was that your family's cane mill that you're talking about?
Yes, my father.
And this was all in Rosewood.
It was all in Rosewood.
What other kind of crops did you grow?
Well, most of sweet potatoes.
Is there anything else, any other kinds that you remember?
Well, we would grow corn and more vegetables. Corn mostly was for the animals, because we had a lot of animals we were taking care of, ours and other people's also.
And then you would exchange some of your crops for other people's crops they'd bring to you?
True.
What property would you grow the different crops on?
Well, we had our own land.
Your own land?
Right.
How much land was that?
Well, I know we had about 140 acres. I know we had 80 acres in one area, had 60 acres in another area.
And you grew crops on all of that property?
Right.
What kind of house did you live in?
Just a regular frame two-story house.
And where was it located in Rosewood?
Well, it was located, I can't exactly tell you exactly what area it was in, but I know we was near the railroad. This is, I guess west of the railroad, about a quarter of a mile, because we could stand on our porch and look at the train.
Did your family own that house?
No, I don't think we owned that house. I think that house was more or less my father used to take care of a lot of animals and things for other people, like horses, cows, and whatnot. And that house was given to us because the animals that was around were close around this particular place. And we had lived there for years. In fact, I was born there. I don't know how long we had been there. But from what I can understand, that wasn't our actual house.
But because you took care of that livestock around the house, you stayed in that house.
Right.
And that was known as your family's house, the Hall House.
Right.
And everyone in Rosewood, the Rosewood community, knew that as your house.
That's true.
What about the other property that you mentioned that you grew crops on? Did your family own that, or was that leased?
No, my family owned that.
They owned that.
Mm-hmm.
Did your older brothers and sisters help out your parents in doing the sharecropping business?
Yes. That is until they left home. You know, even then they left home early, what to tell me, because I couldn't. But my older brother, well, he left home kind of early. And my older sister, well, she got married. Quite naturally, that made her leave home. And my next older brother, Sammy, well, he more or less stayed home and kind of helped out until this came about. Then he just had left.
Did you ever get to help out? I know you were young, you were 8.
Well, only thing I'd done at the time was I rode on the horseback when they were driving the cane, because the horse had to go round and round. And after you go round and round so long, the horse would just stop. But if somebody was on his back, keep him going. That was my job.
And why would you make the horse go around in circles? Is that to get the sugar cane out?
No, to get the juice out the sugar cane.
Get the juice out?
Mm-hmm.
You got to participate. You got to do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this was a family business.
That's right.
Going on.
Right.
And did your parents have any other businesses?
Well, we own a store also, which we sold most of the farm equipment, along with caskets.
Caskets? What else was sold at the store?
Well, regular food, merchandise, whatnot. But we specialize in farm equipment. And later years, then he started carrying caskets also.
Did you get to spend time at the store?
Well, if I did, I don't remember too much. I remember I used to go there as a little kid, go upstairs, which they didn't lie, no kids upstairs, where the caskets was. That's where most of the farm equipment was, upstairs in the store. And I used to love to walk up them steps, but they get me down.
Did your dad run that store, or did he have somebody else do that?
No, my father did that.
He ran it.
And along with my mother at times, you know, and my older brother and my older sister. Well, when they wasn't in school, they would help out also in the store and whatnot.
How old were you when your father passed away?
I really don't know exactly how old I was. I remember him passing, but I couldn't have been over 5 or 6.
About 5 or 6. So you think that was around 1920, something like that?
Right.
It was before the Rosewood incident.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
After your father passed away, was your mother able to continue doing the sharecropping business?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And did the brothers and sisters help out also?
Yes, and then neighbors, too, would also help her. People would come pouring there around and help.
And so your family continued to grow crops?
Yes.
And live in the same house in Rosewood?
That's right.
Did your mother take on any extra jobs also, or did she work with anyone else during this time?
Yes, she did. She did a lot of domestic work. That's and also She's taking a lot of washing and ironing, work like that. Plus, she used to work for Mr. Reich. Use it downtown. Well, it was downtown there then. That was about the only store that was down to large size store, where he sold practically everything. She worked for him a lot of time, part-time, because he had some young kids which she used to take care of.
Was Mr. Wright a black or white?
White.
And when would, what time period was she working for him?
Well, most of their, when they're doing, and there's no farming, there wasn't too much farming going on, too much shell cropping going on. That's the, they had two seasons, see. One season they would, like the fall of the year, it would be mostly for cane grinding and syrup making, stuff like that. But during that time, my mother would be very busy. She taking care of her own business. But later on during the year, when that's all been put aside, and she would give Mr. Wright days. Miss Wright, she had taken kind of sick. But then when she could, she would give Miss Wright days at his place.
And was she working for him before the Rosewood incident that's been discussed?
Yes.
Let me ask you about that. What is your first remembrance about the Rosewood incident that occurred in January?
Well, I guess that I had to be about a week before it actually come to a head, because all around us, you know, we could hear the gun shooting in there, and we could see the fire from a distance, houses burning, things like that. Maybe the next day, then maybe the news would get to my parents who it was or where it was or what happened, what like that. That went on for about a week.
How would your parents get the news?
How would they get it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that people's traveling news, what they call mouth news. Always somebody going someplace, coming from or going to, and they would drop the news off to different people who are coming that way, going to be in that vicinity at a certain time or not.
And at that time, your father had already passed away, right?
Yes.
So when you're talking about your mother?
Right.
And who else was living in your house with you then?
Just the family.
Just your family?
Well, it was, I guess it was about five kids and my mother.
Which of your brothers and sisters were still living in your house?
It was Margaret, Thomas, Charlie, Wilson, and Mary, and Martha, she had died.
Did you hear the stories also about what was going on?
Yes.
How did you get to hear them since you were 8 years old?
Well, because, see, I never did get close to my mother. Whatever my mother heard, I heard it too.
Did you stay close to her?
I stayed close to my mother until she died. And I was way up in the sisters.
And what stories did you hear standing there with your mother about what was going on?
Well, they would say, you know, Mr. Bradley, Sister Bradley, house got burnt down last night. Maybe they killed some Sister the One dogs, or the cows, or the horses, or the hogs. They just come through to kill anything they could see. And maybe that's all they could see. The mama would say, Lord, I hope they don't come this way. She said, well, Mary said, don't worry. She said, they ain't coming this way yet. She said, right now, they said, they're only looking for the Bradleys and the Carries. That's all they're looking for. Yeah. When they kill all of them, they ain't no telling what they're going to kill. And another thing about it, you don't have to worry too much because they ain't looking for no women and no children. And when we were leaving, that's the only way we could leave. But we got on the train when Mr. Wright had the train to stop for us.
Let me stop you there. Let's back up for a minute.
Okay.
So at first, when you first heard gunshots and knew there was troubles going on, you weren't as afraid. But what changed? What happened?
You mean the reason I got afraid again?
Right.
Well, after the when the gun was going on, and they would come by the next day and let us know what had happened the night before. And then after that, well, we'd go about in peace.
And who would tell you that? Who would come by and let your family know what was going on?
Well, I couldn't tell you names who it was, but I know a different one. Maybe some of them I didn't even know by their name, but I would hear them talk to my mother.
What everybody in Rose, what was everyone talking about, the community was talking about, what was going on?
Yes, yes. Everybody was talking about it. White and black.
And how long did this go on?
Well, to my knowledge, about a week.
And then what happened?
Well, they seemed to have achieved their mission, I guess. They had killed all the people they wanted to kill, and then everything squashed.
And did you see fires?
Sure.
What did you see on fire?
Well, we could only see the fire. I don't know what it was.
You could just
see it. Wasn't no houses. Well, my one house close to our house. And that was the house right there, which is doing them houses. It was right close to our house. It was about a quarter of a mile. All the other houses were far away. But we could see the fire, you know, in the country where there's no light. Fire is one thing you can see from a distance. And maybe a light from a car, something like that. You can see it for miles. Nothing else to see.
And you remember seeing this yourself?
Oh, sure.
Were these fires coming from houses in Rosewood?
Oh, yes. We could go upstairs in my house, and then we could see a little further away.
What did you hear about the killings?
Well, many things. I want to know who they killed last night, who they planning on killing tonight. Well, names that I forgot. Names that I didn't hardly know at the time, know, huh? But then, and maybe the next night. Well, they got around to killing Sister One last night. They burnt Sister One's house last night.
They burnt whose house?
Burnt Sister One's house. I don't know names.
Okay. Now.
And what happened to them was maybe some of them got killed. Some of them did chase them off. They're gone. They don't know what happened to them. And one man that said they made him dig his grave, two guys, from what I can understand. He dig his grave and then he shot him in. Another man, he had one arm. Well, they made him dig his grave and they shot him. Well, a son of my brother, he was one of the Bradleys, his name was Nader. Well, him and Sammy was real close friends. And then Nader got shot. The only one that really close that I knew about that got shot. He got one of his eyes shot out.
And that's somebody that you knew and you were close to.
I knew them.
Did you see him after he got shot?
Yes, I did.
What did you see?
I see him had a big quilt over this side of his face, and just his one eye showing. And he was going in. Somebody was taking him away. Some person with a little 8 miles forward. He was getting up on the back of it to take him away. I don't know if he was taking to the doctor where they were taking him, but that's the last I see this.
And how did you get a chance to see him? Were you out on your porch or?
No, we was out in the swamp, out in the woods, waiting to be picked up.
Okay, was that after you had to leave your own house?
That's after we left our house.
Okay, let's back up a little bit and tell me why you finally had to leave your own home.
Because it was coming to destroy it, and everything was in it.
How did you know that?
Well, I knew it was following a certain pattern, and our house was next.
Did somebody specifically tell you and your family that your house was next?
Well, they didn't have to, because we knew from where they were the night before. If they was coming anywhere, they had to be coming this way, and our house was next in line. So, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I guess, we was all in bed asleep. And we could see the lights and hear the cars coming. Quite natural. My mother got up and got us all together, taking us out.
What did she tell you?
She said, well, they're coming. Like they said they was coming, so they're coming, so we got to get out of here quick. Mr. Rice had already told her where to go and what he was going to do.
And Mr. Wright was the white employer that she had worked with?
Right. He's the one that had control of everything there, plus the train. So he had already told us that he would have the train to stop if y'all get on there. But that was the day before this happened. When y'all get there, I'll know. Because he had a regular walking telephone, I imagine, in and out, letting him know what's going on.
What did your brothers and sisters think at 1 in the morning when your mom was telling you that you had to leave?
Well, and what they could think.
What do you think?
They didn't have no thinking to do.
For the record, I think he's got a standing objection on the hearsay question. That's okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
How'd that make you feel?
Made me feel very bad.
Were you scared?
Oh, well, yes, I guess. I wasn't scared about myself, but I was scared for my mother. Because at the time, I didn't think nothing in the world could happen to my mother. And I still thought that up until the day she died. But I found out later that anything could happen to anybody.
What were you wearing that night?
I have no idea. Not too much of nothing.
Did you have time to change clothes and pack up some things?
I was wearing whatever I was sleeping in.
And what did your family do?
The same thing I did. Got up with what they had on and hit the woods.
Where'd you go? How did you leave your house?
You left the house just like it was standing. Out the back door, to the back gate, and she put all the kids down and she had to count them. It was in there missing. So it was one missing. Mr. Henry, he had to stop to give my mother a hand. He goes back in the house and get the one that was missing, which was Charlie.
Somebody had forgotten. Someone was forgotten.
And my mother had forgot one.
Was he the baby?
No, Mary was the baby. But Charles, I was next. But then I was next to Charles. But still, no. I guess I growed more than the others. So by Charlie and Mary being about the same size, she had Charles, then she had Mary. So when she got up to the back gate, that's the way we was all heading out. He said, well, let's see if anybody left. So she asked Mr. Henry, she said, who you got? He said, I got one. He said, well, that's Mary. We done left. No, that's Charles. She said, we done left Mary. We had to go back and get Mary. So then he put Charles down. He went back in the house. He got Mary.
This is Mr. Henry you're talking
Henry.
Who is Mr. Henry?
Mr. Henry was just a friend of my mother's.
Was he black?
Yes.
And how did he get involved with your family? What was he doing there that night?
Well, Mr. Henry, he was a part-time, tap-time worker. And what I mean a part-time, because it's certain areas, a certain bunch of tap-time was away from where he was living at. So I mean that he'd be camping out. But this particular place he was camping out was close to our place. Him and my mother got to be friends. And so my mother would go over sometime and fix his food. When he get home, all he had to do was just eat and take a rest.
So he came around to help your mother and your family.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Did Mr. Henry have a lot of time to get back in the house and get married?
Yes, he had time to go back in the house because after he went back in the house, after he got married, then the cars was coming up to the front gate.
And did you see that?
Yes, you could see the lights from the cars. That's all we could see, the lights.
Was it only cars or were there other?
No, it was more about 6 cars coming up. And we got out. And after we got out, on the way, we could look back at the house quite as you would do. And you could see the lights going out and whatnot. But it didn't burn the house that night.
What did you and your family do while Mr. Henry ran back in? Were you just standing there or were you hiding?
Standing there, no, just standing there. Because at the back gate, it was automatic hiding in there. Because there's nothing to see.
So you were hidden?
Hidden for the woods.
Okay. And what happened after Mr. Henry came back with Mary?
We all hit the road.
And where'd
you go?
We
hit the woods.
Where'd you go?
In Gulf Hammock. Went on out there and waited until we got the news. Well, first thing out, it was kind of cold. At first, they had to start to build a kind of fire that can't be seen. So they built some fire, and the kids kind of warmed them up.
Did you say you were trying to keep the fire so it wouldn't be seen?
Right.
You were in hiding, going through the woods. Did you know where you were going?
Oh, yes.
Did your mom tell you?
Yes.
What did she tell you?
That we're going to Gulf Hammock.
Did she tell you why?
Yes, sure. She didn't have to tell me why, because I was leading the gang.
And what did you make it to Gulf Hammock?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, after we got there, well, like I said, the other line, and the kids all cold, crying, some of them. And then somebody made up a fire. And then we all got around it. And then people would give signals. Some of them would blow their hand, some of them would whistle, give signals from one to the other one. But we wasn't the only one out there. And so they got the word to Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright's son, us, when what time he would get the train there. But it'd be sure everybody's ready on the spot. But the train could only stay there a few seconds or whatever it was. And what time it would be. Well, by we not having no time, we had to get, somebody had to keep signals us about how long it would be before the train come. Then we heard the train coming.
How long did you have to wait?
Just about a half an hour from the time that the son of the word that the train got there.
And did you stay hidden during that time?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what happened when the train arrived?
Well, when the train arrived, then my mother, just like a bird, I guess, pushing those kids on the train. Got them all on, and then she got on. And then they looked around to see if everybody else had got on. So there was quite a few people that got on the train, like kids and whatnot. And then after all of them got on, then Mr. Wright had a man there to be sure that no men's get on the train. Nothing but women's and their kids.
Was Mr. Henry allowed to get on the train?
No.
Why was that?
Because he was a man. There was no man supposed to ride the train.
Okay, so it was only women and children that were in the train.
Only women and children. Mm-hmm.
Were there food or blankets or anything in the train for you?
No, we got that a little later. Because we got on the train got going. Some man got on the train. We're looking to see if was anybody on there that wasn't supposed to be. And then, then after he found there wasn't nobody that wasn't supposed to be. Then he got off, and then the train went ahead on. And so, and then I didn't have nothing to eat. Nobody didn't have nothing to eat until we got to Gainesville the next day.
Were you scared during this time?
I didn't know how to be scared, really. I was scared for myself. I was scared for my mother and her concern.
Were any of the kids crying?
No.
Why not?
Because as long as Mama was up with us, we didn't have no fear.
And was this in the middle of the night?
No, no. More or less near morning.
Near morning. And where did the train take you?
Gainesville.
And when did you arrive in Gainesville?
The next morning, about 7 o'clock.
So it was light by the time you got to Gainesville?
Yes, just light. Good.
Had you slept at all during that trip? Why not?
Well, I ain't had nowhere to sleep. Because I couldn't sleep. As long as Mama had her eyes open, I had to watch my mother see what's going to happen next. Because I didn't want nothing to happen to my mother. But anyhow, after we got to Gainesville, and then my mother never been to Gainesville before, and didn't know what direction to go look for nothing. Only thing she knew that her brother had a fish market in Gainesville. So she and I went walking, looking.
Because no one was waiting for you in Gainesville. You didn't know where you were going to be going.
And he didn't know we was coming.
And so were you able to find your uncle?
Yes, we finally found him. So my mother and I had made 2 trips. And we came back. So there's a man there at the station waiting. So he asked my mother, were you looking for Joe Davis? My mother said, yes. He said, what relation he is to you? She said, that's my brother. He said, well, come on, I'll show you where he at.
Where were your brother and sisters during this time?
They were there at the station. Some of them all up under the bench, on the bench, sleep. My brother Charles, he was real sleepy-headed. He was asleep walking around if you wasn't careful. So he was asleep, and I guess Thomas, he was asleep. Margaret, she was just nodding, like always. But my mother and I, we went until we found Uncle Joe. And we came back, and the same man followed all in his little car, the truck, like, he took us back to Uncle Joe's place. And then Uncle Joe Pullout. Well, he had quite a bit of fish and things. Then there's a fish market. So my mother got some food and whatnot and cooked it, and we all ate. And we all stretched out on the floor.
So, and did you get some sleep finally?
Yes.
What happened after that?
Well, after that, quite naturally, my mother, well, she started preparing for the future, because, you know, we were there for the time being, because we couldn't go back to Rosewood.
Why didn't your mother go back to Rosewood?
She couldn't go back. She never went back.
Why not?
She didn't want to go back. She didn't even want you to talk about it. It's because they had worked very hard for what they had. And the white people didn't want them to have it that bad. They take it and burn it up. They didn't have it. Because she got her health and her and her kids, that she can find some more someplace else.
What would happen if you talked about Rosewood with your mother?
She would cut me off. Well, I talked about it later years. But right after first that, my mother didn't even discuss it. She wouldn't discuss it with nobody.
Did you hear what happened to your house in Rosewood?
Yes.
What happened?
They burned it down.
When did you find out about that?
About 2 weeks later.
How did you find out?
Somebody came from Rosewood up there to Gainesville and was talking about it. Matter of fact, Mr. Wright, one of the Mr. Wright representatives, came up there to see if he could get my mother to go back. My mother was quite a woman in Rosewood, because she was working for a lot of people and she was doing a lot of people's favors and whatnot. And she stood out. And so they wanted her to come back. My mother told her, no way.
Your mother wouldn't go back to
no.
Rosewood? Did she ever go back to Rosewood?
Never.
Why wouldn't she do that?
Because she was afraid. Plus, she was afraid for her life. And she didn't never want none of her kids to go back. And none of them been back, as I know. For the same reason.
How did your mother take care of you and your brothers and sisters now that you're in Gainesville?
Well, she went around, she begged, and people give her. And finally, she got some work, the domestic work, and taking in a few clothes and whatnot.
Where did he live?
Well, we lived at Uncle Joe until Mr. Henry came by, and about a month later, Mr. Henry came back. Then he helped my mother get a little house.
So Mr. Henry had gotten away from Rosewood also?
Oh, yes.
And he helped your mother in Gainesville?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a house did you get?
Just old shack. About 3-room shack. Mr. Henry and me, we built another room onto it. I guess we must have stayed there about 6-7 years. I don't know.
How long were you in Gainesville before you got to live in the shack?
How long were we there before we moved?
How long were you in Gainesville having to live with your uncle before you
got
your own place?
About a month.
Okay. And how did your mother support you all after that?
Well, she done a little work, plus my uncle would help her.
What about you? Did you help out?
I couldn't then. I wasn't old enough. But just as quick as I found my way around, yes, I got out there and made some money every day and brought it to my mother.
What kind of things would you do?
I would get up in the people's house, clean up under the house. I would pick up pecans. I would clean the yard. Whatever was my age or my size limit I could do, I did it. As long as I got some money. And when I got up about 12 or 13 years old, I got with a promoter. He was a trained fighter. So he had a couple of fighters, so he wanted me to work out with him. So I did. But that was $5 a week.
So you made money working out with the fighters?
That was $5 a week until my mother, this man decided he wanted to go to my mother and get a contract with me. And that's what killed that.
Your mom didn't want you to have that?
That killed me too. Keeping it hid from her this long.
Were you able to go to school during this time?
No.
Why not?
Well, number one, you had to be a certain age before you could start the school. And you have to know where you was going to school at when you did start. And being in Gainesville, my mother didn't know where school was, and neither did her kids. And they were so bad in their free public schools that my mother couldn't trust her kids. So she had to wait until she got enough to send them to a private school. Well, then she sent them to a private school, Melville Jackson Private School.
And did you go?
I went. Mm-hmm.
Were you working also at that time?
Yes. I wasn't old enough to do too much work, but when it was time for me to go to work, I didn't go to school. Because if I didn't have no shoes or nothing to go to school, but I could go to work barefoot. And that's what happened.
So how much school did you get to attend?
My third grade.
Third grade? Mm-hmm. And then you had to go to work to help your mom and your family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go back to school?
Yeah, when I got about 40, I went to school, a night school up in Chicago for about a couple of years. I didn't get too far past third grade, though.
You took some courses when you were 40, later.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back for a minute and ask you a little bit about Rosewood before your family had to escape, mm-hmm. what the community was like. What do you remember about some community activities that occurred in Rosewood?
Well, Rosewood to me was a good time place for the black people because each person had their own whatever they need. Whether it was church, whether it was lodge, school, whatever it was, we had everything we need right there. We had our own farm, we had our own sugar mill, we had our own grit mill, own cane mill, so we didn't need nothing. All we needed was God, and God was all around us. We had as much of that we needed to. So we didn't worry about nothing. We didn't need nothing. But everybody would help everybody else. If you was farming and something happened that you needed some help, all right, I'll go and help you. Or the other guy, there was a whole family from somewhere else come and help us until we get it all together. We got it all together. We had a feast. Even the church. 10% of your earning go to the church. At the end of the season, at the end of the crop season, they had a feast.
And 10% of the crops went to the church.
10% of the crops went to the church.
And
all the poor and all the people from far and near around, everybody was welcome.
Everybody in Rosewood?
Everybody in Rosewood and out of Rosewood, too. Maybe you had some family, somebody in Wiley or Summers or some other place there. Maybe you had some family. Maybe they was coming to visit you during the time of the feast. Then everybody was coming.
Did the kids get to attend too?
Oh, sure.
So you were there?
I was right there.
And what did they do with the kids?
Well, the kids had something to do also. Maybe it would be like a bag race. Kids get in a crocker bag and see which one outrun the other. They had a big baseball game there. All the baseball players would be there. And their wives and their kids. I mean, everything was just a great, big, happy family.
Did the kids get to play baseball, too?
After they got old enough. But they played a little tennis ball. You take a tennis ball and give you a bat. And that's what the kids played with until they got old enough to play baseball.
What else do you remember about the Rosewood community getting together and doing things?
Well, everything that Rosewood needed, we had it. Whether it was barbecuing, first time I see them barbecue a whole hog, a whole cow, that was even during the time when they had the feast. They had to dig a hole in the ground as half long as a table and half as deep. And then they put bars across it, build a big fire in it. Sometimes put so much wood on the fire until it lasts maybe a week. A big oak, log to put that there. It gets it hot and it lasts a week. They'll barbecue two or three cows or two or three hogs or whatnot. And they live.
Did they have dances?
Yes, they have dances. But dances at the Mason Hall, the CIO Hall, whatever we might call it that time.
What do you remember about that?
Well, they had dances. And people having that homebrew and moonshine, and they had the time.
Did the kids get to go to the dances?
Well, the kids weren't in that.
Did you get to go?
No, I wasn't allowed in that. But I knew about it because I could go to the door and pee for my mom. And when she saw me, I had to get moving. I mean, she could hit hard. And my mother didn't play.
Did Rosewood have some shooting competitions?
Well, they have during the time they have this rifle, the shooting garrets, they call them. Shoot for prize, you know, things like that. Yes, they had them at least once a year.
And who would participate in that, that you remember?
Well, all the grown people. They didn't line no kids nowhere near no gun. All the grown people that had weapons that they owned, they would shoot. Some of them had, most of them had rifles, from a 22s or 30-30. And that's what, depends on what size of the prize is to what size of the weapon they would use. If they were shooting for cow or hog or maybe a turkey or whatever, then they would shoot for that particular size.
And do you remember attending some of these shooting contests?
Yes. I was in the background. I know by what was going on that, but by close as I could get.
What about candy pulling?
Yes. That's during the cane grinding time. That's the cane grinder season is over. Then they have a smaller kettle. They use that for candy pulling. It's a regular size kettle, but it might hold about 300 gallons of juice. Well, they don't mess around with that, see, because they can't let that get spoiling. That and my mother was a professional cooker, and she would get it all fired up, and then she would watch it cook a little while, and then she might go away and leave it up to some of the others. Yep. And then when she come back, she look at it and see if it's acting right. Then she might say, put some more root on it. Now, let's pop the little pot over here. That's for the candy.
Was the whole community involved in this?
Yes.
And how would they be involved?
Well, we would, after the candy got ready, we would get butter and put it all in the pot around it. Then they roll the candy out of the pot. Might be a big ball of candy, see? Then they'll roll it out until it gets long. Keep rolling it until it gets long, and they break that off and roll it some more. And when it gets to the side that two people can pull it, then they'll start pulling it. Start pull it, pull it, fold it back, pull it, fold it back until it gets to like they want it. Then they'll start eating it. And that's where the kids come in there.
And so did you get to be a part of that?
I was head of the line.
And you have good memories of that?
Yes, ma'am. That's, I didn't think there made no other kind of good candy but that.
You've heard some testimony today about the Rosewood meetings, the annual meetings. Did you go to any of those meetings?
No. I wasn't old enough then. Because that child then was a child.
Have you been to any of the more recent meetings?
Well,
I'm going to ask you something because I think that Mr. Peters is going to ask you if I don't, and that's why haven't you talked about Rosewood until recently?
Number one, I ain't had nobody to talk to it with. Number two, I didn't know nothing to tell them that they don't already know. Only people knew about Rosewood was the people that was there. And they don't want to talk about it. First piece about it, they feel like that was such a slap in the face. People are still hurting. They don't know nobody want to hurt. That's one of the reasons they don't even talk about it.
And is that like your mother? She didn't want to talk
right,
about Rosewood.
That's true.
And would she get upset if you talked about it?
Yes, indeed. Yes, sir.
Did you know of other family members that felt the same way?
No. No, because like I say, after we went to Gainesville, we didn't meet no more people. And we didn't go nowhere looking for no more. And if they did come where we was, they didn't let us know they were from Rosewood. And we didn't let them know that we knew anybody from Rosewood either.
Why not?
Because that was a no-no in the family. Nothing to discuss.
Hold on for a minute.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. That's all I have.
Mr. Peters? Mr. Hall, this is Mr. Peters from the Attorney General's office. You need to turn your mic on, please.
You indicated that you went to Gainesville with your mother and Mr. Wright came to your home?
Mr. Henry Price.
Mr. Price. Yes.
Oh, you mean, yeah, Mr. Wright came there later, yeah.
He asked you and your mother to go back?
Well, he asked my mother to go back and see what, and try to sell that land, what you want to do with it. Mother said, no, I'm not going back. Land, you or nobody else.
Did she ever sell that land to anybody?
Didn't sell it and then sign for nobody else to sell it.
Were you frightened when Mr. Wright found you in Gainesville? Did that...
Well, I wasn't so frightened because I was concerned.
Yes, sir.
Because Mr. Wright was nice to my mother.
Yes, sir.
And her family. So, but when he come all the way to Gainesville, quite natural. By me being there, I had to wonder what Mr. Wright want now. And when he come in and asked for Mama, and I went and got Mama's son, then he present Mama with a piece of paper. Actually, to sign this, at first she asked, was she coming back?
Yes, sir.
Rosie, she told him, no, never. He said, well, I bought some papers here for you to sign. If you want to sell that land, whatever you want to do with it. But she said, I don't want to do nothing.
Worked as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You indicated when she was raising you after your father died that she did some household chores around the area there.
Yes.
Was there a time when she worked in the lumber mill?
Yes. Yes.
What did she do in the lumber mill when she was working?
Dog logs.
What is that?
Well, you know, you got that big saw. And you got a carrot that goes by that stuff.
Yes.
And on that carrot is a log. Right? Some of them are longer than the carrot, some of them longer than the carrot.
Yes.
But when you're going by that stuff, when it come back, that log has to be turned over where that stuff get another bite on it.
Flip the log over.
Flip it over. See, now they got it by electricity to do that. But then you used to have them log tongs. You used to flip them over.
That sounds like man's work. Is that hard work?
That's all it was man's work. But during the time of the war, there was no man, so my mama went out there and logged and cut tiles and done everything else.
How long were you in Gainesville?
About 12 years, I guess.
Now, I thought I heard you say that your mother did not want to send you to public school and she saved money to send you to private school?
Not only me, that was the kids who was old enough to go to school.
Yes, sir.
All of them went to private school.
So you waited, you had money to go to private school rather than go to public school. You just waited to do that. There's been some testimony today that in Rosewood, the white citizens got along well with the black citizens. Is that generally the case?
From what I can understand, that's right.
Mr. Wright was one of the persons that had helped you when you were out there hiding, waiting for the train to come?
Yes, my mother also worked for Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright.
You moved around a bit from Rosewood. You were up in Chicago for a while, is that right?
Right.
20, 25 years?
Right, 42.
You moved back to Florida?
No. I moved back to Florida when I retired from Chicago.
You have a club now?
Yes.
In Jacksonville?
Yes, in Higgett.
Okay. Have you ever had any reason during your travels to have any contact with the police or anybody to help you out with problems with your business? Have you ever had any... I mean, to help you?
No.
You ever been to court?
Oh, yes. Sure, I have been to court.
What did you do in court?
I went to court to testify.
Yes, sir.
And, well, that was something that just didn't concern nothing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but I guess I would say it as a witness.
Yes, sir.
So, and that was, I probably forgot about what it was about. Well, that was about a stick-up in Chicago.
You saw somebody rob a...
I didn't see nothing, but they thought I did.
Okay, right. An interview you've given, I think, indicates that you used to talk about Rosewood, not with your mother, but with your wife, I guess. About that, is that right?
Yes, my wife and I, we talked about it now.
Okay.
But
didn't understand the reason why you don't talk about it with other persons. Are you afraid to talk about it with other persons?
Well, I'm not afraid so much, but my mother was.
Yes, sir.
My mother's afraid to talk about it among anybody, and she didn't want me to talk about it either.
Out of respect to her, you just didn't talk about it around her.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Has anyone ever threatened you or followed you or hurt you because you came from Rosewood?
No, not that I know.
Would you think anybody would have any reason to do that?
No.
Were you involved in the 60 Minutes TV show about 10 years ago?
No, I wasn't. That was my brother, though.
He was on?
Yes.
And your brother's name is?
Sammy.
Did you know he was going to be on there? Was that just a surprise?
No, it was a surprise to us because he had let us know about a day before that it might would be on. He didn't know for sure then.
Uh-huh. Did they talk about Rosewood then?
Yes, they did.
Talk about the burn and everything? And your brother's dead now?
Yes.
The reunion of the Rosewood survivors, did you go to some of those or a few of those? Do you go to those now?
No.
Why is that?
Well, I didn't know about them then.
Yes, sir.
And I just know about them now, and I've been going to them here lately.
How many have you been to?
Three?
Mm-hmm. Like the last three?
That's right.
Okay. What do y'all talk about at those Rosewood reunions?
We talk about the survivors and what should have been done and wasn't.
About coming here today.
That's right.
All right.
That's part of it. And, well, actually, we don't discuss that too much. We're too busy talking about how lucky we are to escape.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
I'm going to click redirect.
Okay, one more question from Mr. Clinton.
The three meetings that you're talking about, are those recent meetings that lawyers were present?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Hall. We appreciate your coming here today.
Sure.